Thursday, August 21st. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. Garrett Richards. What a shame. Scary last night. Sad scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not much you have to say. Just saying it. It's a shame. Probably going to be out for the year. Don't drop him yet. He was taken off the field on a stretcher. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Dodgers rotation. The Pirates outfield, Garrett Cole coming back, David Ortiz hitting his 30th home run, the Worryometer and more. Adam Azer, Scott White, Al Melchior. Fantasy Baseball at CBSI.com is our email address, and we do have a live FBT, Fantasy Baseball Today, video show today at noon with John Heyman. We won't have a show tomorrow. We will have a podcast, but not a video show. So, anyway, how are you guys?
All right.
Good. Let's get started. Unless you want to say anything else.
No, I'd like to start this podcast.
Let's get started. What happens in the Angels rotation now?
Funny you should ask, because I'm looking at the depth chart, and it's not pretty. this is where Randy Wolf is these days in the Angels system. Yeah. Jose Alvarez could be an option. Chris Volstad.
Chris Volstad.
That's
a name I haven't heard in a few years.
Well, the good news is, there seem to be pitchers out on waivers now that wouldn't normally be on waivers because, you know, half your league is quit. So you might be able to get a Jimmy Nelson, probably too late for Mike Fiers. You might be able to get a Danny Salazar if you lost Garrett Richards. Any other names that come to mind? Tsuyoshi Wada.
Did you say Kyle Hendricks?
No, I didn't. Oh, that's who.
He's very highly owned.
He and Fiers are the two.
Yeah, Wada's,
Wada's
a good one. I'm actually starting to get a little intrigued by Jake Peavy again.
Yeah.
So, and two-start week coming up, so maybe just a pitch and ditch there. But I think the same for Nelson is possible, too. Definitely worth picking up Nelson, and very under-owned at 53%. But when Garza comes back, maybe it's Nelson that goes to the bullpen. I would assume the bullpen, there's no minor league at that point. That would not be good for him. But Nelson at least should have one good week left in him.
Clayton Kershaw is going to start today instead of tomorrow, and Zach Greinke being pushed back 2 days, dealing with an elbow injury for a few weeks now, and the Dodgers don't think he needs a DL stint. But I'm nervous. I don't know that there's much you can do as a fantasy owner.
Sit there with your fingers crossed.
Uh-huh.
Shaking.
No, but you can't do, as we all know from when we were kids, you can't do the double fingers crossed, because they cancel each other out.
I never heard that.
Really?
That's, no, I never heard
that's
that.
That's why so many things didn't work out for me, apparently.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't. One, fingers crossed, good luck. Two, it's like opposite day.
You're doing it right now.
Well, now I'm done. Now I'm done. Let's talk about the Pirates outfield. Travis Snyder, 17% owned. He's on an 11-game hitting streak with 3 homers and 6 doubles. Meanwhile, Gregory Polanco has sat 2 straight games with Andrew McCutchen back. So, your take.
It's something that they teach managers in Colorado, that you play the hot hand in the outfield.
Ah, I see.
Clint Hurdle.
So he took that lesson from Colorado.
Colorado, and then bestowed it upon Walt Weiss.
What do you guys think, though? What's going to happen? Crystal ball it.
My crystal ball says Snyder is going to cool off at some point, and then he'll probably be out of the mix. In the meantime, I think he'll spell. I mean, he could spell all three of them because they got to move Marte to center. So he could spell McCutchen, potentially.
McCutchen. I actually sometimes, not anymore, I used to misspell McCutchen and put the O in there, like Lawrence.
Yeah.
McCutchen. Oh, C-H-O-N?
C-H-E-O-N.
Like, why would you do that?
Because that's how Lawrence McCutchen spelled it.
Well, that's silly, Al. One guy spells his name weird, and you
he was
apply
first.
It to everyone else.
He was the first of the McCutchens to come across your path.
Yes, he was.
Sort of. I would like to see Snyder keep getting at bats. He's only 26.
Yeah.
But at Polanco's expense?
No, not at Polanco's expense, but not considering who else is on the Pirates, just to see what Snyder can do.
Put him at first base.
I mean, as slow as they've been to put Alvarez at first base, I don't think that's going to happen, but I'd be happy to see it, sure.
Support it.
Starlin Castro, unfortunately, expected to go on the bereavement list, and he could miss about a week with a tragedy in his family. Let's move to the Wednesday standouts, and tell me what you expect from Garrett Cole going forward here. 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts against Atlanta yesterday, his first start since July 4th.
Yeah, he came up on the buzzsaw and survived, lived to tell about it. So that's very encouraging, considering the long layoff. And I kind of feel like he was less than must-start before he went down. The whip was pretty high. It was kind of Zach Wheeler-like. And I'm not saying he's must-start now with this start, but it's obviously a good first showing, and I think you're going to end up starting him more weeks than not. By the way, I'm trying to think of his name. Who's starting for the Reds today?
Today?
The left-hander. Reds.
Oh, Holmberg.
Yeah, David Holmberg's coming up against the buzzsaw today.
He's going to find the on switch.
He allowed 3 home runs in less than 3 innings in his first start this year. And he's a left-hander going against Justin Upton and Evan Gattis, who hits .414 against lefties.
Wow.
I think.
And Angelton Simmons, too.
Yeah.
So just saying.
Bombs away. Bombs away in Cincinnati today.
All right. Good call. I'm assuming that's part of your daily league look ahead.
It
today.
Is. Yeah, it is.
Like, yeah, somebody's been doing this research.
Yeah.
Who else you got from yesterday, guys?
Well, I mentioned Peavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not been super consistent since joining the Giants, but he's been better. The control has been continues to be on an upward swing. So I'm intrigued by him and Wei-Yin Chen as two start options for next week. I think both are on a good path of late. Both are getting more whiffs, which I always like to see.
I dug deep into Wei-Yin Chen.
Oh.
Lot fewer walks this year. Basically,
he was a good control guy before.
You look at him, first 2 years of his career, low 4 ERA. And this year, 3.76. Of course, that's coming after a great 5-start stretch with the 2.34 ERA. And basically, the big difference are the hits, the home runs, the strikeouts are pretty much the same year over year over year, but the walks are down and the whip is down. I don't really like him that much. I think he's just on a hot streak. Like, I don't know what would have changed about him.
He's just firing
strikes right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
well,
I kind of feel like I've underrated him personally, but that's coming from the perspective of he was out of my top 100, he was out of my top 110. I feel like just because he's 13-4, there's no way he's underrated to the fantasy community as a whole right now. And so I don't know that it does anybody any good to hype him up, but that being said, I think he's usable. Like I was saying, you're interested in him for, what, a two-start week next week?
Two-start week next week, yeah. At home versus the Rays and Twins. And just to get back to Peavy, because like I said, both Peavy and Chen are getting more whiffs and throwing more strikes of late. With Chen, it was kind of harder to pinpoint the source, but Peavy's been throwing his curve more lately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been more effective. So at least there you can point to something and say, yeah, maybe this is sustainable.
All right, who would you rather have, Peavy or Chen?
I'd rather have Chen, but Peavy is far more available.
He is. Who would you rather own, Peavy or Paxton?
Paxton.
Paxton.
Chen or Paxton?
Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
Paxton or Nelson?
Paxton, just because
yeah.
I think he'll pitch into September.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Worried about Nelson's job security with the fires. Going up everywhere.
Yeah. How about Nate Eovaldi or Jimmy Nelson?
Yeah, I was just ready to say no to Eovaldi. I'd care.
The guys who started yesterday, a lot of them owned between like 50% and 80% of leagues, but I think it's pretty clear how you guys are going to rank them. Danny Duffy or Paxton?
Duffy. Very impressed by him now.
Yeah, Duffy.
Good start at Colorado. I mean, it was an interesting start at Colorado. 5 runs, but only 1 earned. Throwing error in like the 6th or 7th inning. Open the floodgates. And, okay, anyway, back to the standouts from yesterday. I'll nominate Steve Pearce.
Do it.
24% owned, 1-for-4 with a home run at the White Sox. He's been batting second
over the last four games, during which he's 7-for-18 with two homers and four doubles.
Yeah, I'm interested again. I was picking sleepers already for next week, and I put him on the list. You know, obviously, if he has a bad weekend, that could change that. But we've seen him get really hot for basically it was like a 2 month span, and then really cold for the next month. So just these signs of him heating up again, knowing the minor league track record. I don't know. It just smells a lot like Brandon Moss to me, who he said himself, didn't feel like he got a fair shake the first few years. You know, you come up and you have to perform right away. There's so much pressure to do it or get sent back down that, you know, sometimes you can kind of get lost in that. And I feel like the same may have happened to Pierce here.
And how about this, Pierce or Kendrys Morales?
Because
Morales is heating up too.
Yep. Yeah, I'd rather have Morales.
Scott?
I think I rank Morales higher because there's, you know, Morales is going to be like usable. I think if things go for Pierce like I hope they will, he'll be even better than that. So maybe in like a standard size mixed league, I'd be more likely to take the flyer on Pierce.
So you like Pierce better than Kendrys, but do you like him better than Kennys? Vargas.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Kennys and Kendrys are similar.
They are.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a letter aside.
Yeah.
But no, I'd actually rather have Kennys.
Than all three of them?
Than all three?
Than yeah. Both the other two?
Yeah, even though he's got the worst plate discipline of the three, I think he's got the most power.
What is there to say about David Ortiz, who went 4-for-4 with a home run, and at age 38, I think, he's batting .263 with 30 home runs, a great walk-to-strikeout ratio, the lowest batting average since 2009 for him, but still, a number 17 hitter in points, number 28 in Roto. What can we say about David Ortiz?
I just don't understand why there are so many that seem to think that, other than his age, that he's in some sort of decline here. I mean, it'll happen someday, but I don't know. It seems like a lot of analysts and owners alike are just very eager to jump the gun on, you know, any slump that he has is, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
And I don't see it.
12-team league next year. What round? David Ortiz. Age 39 season.
What round would you say he was this year?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I want to say like 8th, was it?
Last year was better than this year.
I was going to say somewhere between 5 and 8.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember. I know that seems like vague.
I think he varies widely. Just. Yeah. Who's going to take the plunge on that DH-only player first?
I feel like he went later in our drafts than, I would guess, the general public's drafts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably would take the plunge around 9 or 10.
So that's pretty late.
Yeah.
For a guy with 30 home runs every year?
Yeah, that is.
Again, based on, you know, what, and again, maybe in the general public I'd have to be more aggressive, but based on what I saw in drafts this year, I would go maybe a little bit later again because of the extra year, but not much later because he's not showing real signs of decline.
How about you?
I was thinking earlier than that. I was thinking maybe 7 or 8, but
Scott wins.
It'll depend on what's actually happening. Yeah.
That's with DH. Right. That it always is.
Yeah.
it's if I get to that point where I don't really like these other options, go DH.
I would not. If I see Ortiz there and I'm like, wow, he's the best hitter available, I'm not going to pass on him because I'm afraid he's old. Mm-hmm. If that would probably be the best way to sum it up.
The DH thing really is important, though.
It
really is a factor.
Sure.
Maybe you don't realize it on draft day, but guys get injured. You want to move people around certain places, you know.
If I end up drafting 2 first basemen in the first 5 rounds, which is certainly conceivable, then that might be a reason to pass him up.
Exactly. Rick Porcello, what is there to say about him? Top 21 starting pitcher with his third complete shutout of the year.
Does that mean he's ranked 21st?
21st in Roto, 18th in points.
Ah, okay.
So 14-8 with a 3.10 ERA, really coming into his own. Not a lot of strikeouts, but whatever.
Yeah, not a lot of strikeouts, the occasional meltdown, which is why actually in this week's pitching column, he's going to be the second one on the borderline list, but he will be in the borderline list instead of the must-start list, which is pretty ample this week, by the way, the must-start list.
Is it?
Yeah, so a lot of guys probably already on your rosters who will be two-start guys. That's good news. So Porcello is one of the best of the rest.
I mean, Yankees at home and White Sox on the road. Don't really see an issue there for Porcello.
No. It's not a matchups thing. It's just kind of, like I said, not a lot of strikeouts. So if you get somebody who does get strikeouts with two starts, that makes them a little juicier. And the fact that I don't totally trust Porcello's consistency.
Who else would you like to talk about? I know you guys have something up your sleeves.
Oh, we always do, Adam. You know we do.
Zach Walters.
Filling
this dead air. 6% owned, 1-for-4 with a home run at Minnesota. And he is shortstop eligible. It would be nice if he played one more game in the outfield. He'd be outfield eligible, too. But shortstop more important here. 3 home runs in his last 7 games. Now, Walters is only batting .203. And since Michael Bourne's come back, he's been DHing for Cleveland. But still, I mean, 6 home runs in 69 at-bats, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
A lot of strikeouts. Cripes. That's a lot of strikeouts. 27.
Yeah, he's not exactly a plate discipline type.
He's an all-or-nothing guy. Yeah, a lot of strikeouts, a lot of fly balls to help generate that power. But that also means a lot of outs when he's not hitting it out of the park. And I was just sitting here trying to, think of a shortstop equivalent, and I'm sort of lacking for one. I guess Jason Nix, which is not going to excite a lot of people, but I think, better power than Nix, but kind of a similar game. But I think that's going to limit Walters in the same way that it has limited Nix.
Would you rather own Joe Panik or Zach Walters at middle infield?
Don't panic.
Panic. No, I do.
Do panic.
Yeah.
I was a panicker.
And he's, I got this list. Part of the reason there's dead air is we'd already blown through everybody on my list.
Oh, okay.
Except, I have two names, and one I didn't really research enough that I felt like I wanted to bring up, but Joe Panik was the other one.
I'm gonna just wet blanket your Joe Panik thoughts right now.
Uh-oh.
Because he's hitting .404 in his last 21 days, and he's not even a top 20 second baseman.
During that time.
With a .404 batting average, because he is doing nothing else. He has one extra base hit. He has no steals. Oh, no, he has two. He has two doubles, no steals. So two extra base hits, 7 runs scored in 21 days, .404 batting average. So, yeah, he's going to have to either hit higher up in the order or start hitting some extra base hits to make a mark on fantasy, Al.
Well, depends what fantasy you're talking about. When you're comparing him to Zach Walters, who I view as an AL-only option, so, of course, these guys aren't going to compete if we're just talking about single-league formats.
Yeah.
But, let's just say we're talking about a very deep mixed league. I would prefer Panik. So, how deep? Yeah, probably not 15. I mean, it'd have to be like maybe 16, 18 teams.
Okay. So deep territory here.
Yeah.
All right. Now, is there anything else, or should we move on?
Nah, I want to look more into Mac McBride because I was surprised to see him in the Rockies lineup last night.
Well, Morneau sat for a lefty.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's, obviously McBride's appeal if he sticks around is NL only, but this is a guy who's kicked around the minors for a long time. I'd sort of forgotten about him.
What happened to Ben Paulson?
He got sent down.
I wonder why they
went with McBride. That's why I said I wanted to kind of look into that because who knows if this is just one of those, one day, 2 day, cup of coffee kind of things. But McBride was somebody I liked, 3-4, maybe it was, maybe it was 6 years ago as a prospect and, just never caught on.
Well, okay, you look into that. A little homework assignment for you.
All right.
There's another guy who's been sitting against lefties, and that's D. Gordon, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Jeff Samardzija, it's worryometer time. Uh-oh, Samardzija. What's going on here, Jeff Samardzija? He's given up a lot of home runs with the A's. 1.2 per 9 compared to 0.6 per 9 with the Cubs. His whip is actually quite low, 1.04 with Oakland, but he has a .407 ERA. How worried are you about Samardzija? 10 is a sit.
One.
Oh.
Whoa.
Not at all. Not at all.
Huh?
Been very good prior to the start. The home run regression was bound to happen. Whether he was in Oakland, Wrigley Field.
Polo Grounds.
Polo Grounds.
Scott, worryometer?
Well, 10's a sit.
you know, I could say like four or five, and I'm still not that close to sitting him, right? I think my stance on Samardzija and what this stint with Oakland so far has shown me, I mean, 6.5 Ks per nine there. Early on with the Cubs, there was some thought that maybe he was becoming this ace type, and just because he was in Chicago with the Cubs, he wasn't able to produce on that level. I think he's closer to like the Rick Porcello, Tanner Roark class than not. I mean, he's not, at least this year, he hasn't really been a strikeout pitcher, and I don't know that you could trust him for an exceptionally low ERA. Or even WHIP, even with the one he's put up in Oakland so far. I don't know that that's like a 1-0 WHIP is where he's going to end up.
All right. Zach Wheeler, he's not pitching badly. I mean, he has a 2.88 ERA in his last four starts, but 14 walks, 23 strikeouts, and 25 innings. Don't like to see that from Zach Wheeler. He's walked three or more in four straight starts. Worryometer?
Is Tennis sit again?
Yeah.
I don't know that he's must start anyway. So eight?
I'm going five.
Yeah, switcheroo over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The control's not been good. It also hasn't been disastrous. And we've seen him go through stretches where he's been better in that regard. So, yeah, I think this is something that Wheeler's going to struggle with at times. And he's still going to be okay more often than not.
Okay, Wheeler has a one-start week next week. And that should be against the...
Cubs, I want to say.
Braves.
Braves, okay.
Yeah, it'll be against the Braves. So
I think in my 12-team leagues, I'm not going to start him. So that's
why. There are a lot of two-star pitchers. Like two-start Chris Tillman or a one-start...
Tillman.
Because I've actually got him ranked now. I've got Wheeler ahead of the two-start Tillman.
Two-start Chen or a one-start Tillman? Way in Chen.
Or one-start Wheeler, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. One-start Wheeler.
In a points league, maybe Chen, Roto, I'd probably stick with Wheeler.
Yeah, I got Wheeler ahead of him, too.
Two-start Quintana or two-start Tillman?
Quintana.
Quintana has Cleveland and Detroit, and Tillman has Tampa Bay and Minnesota.
Yeah, and I also have Quintana ahead of one-start Wheeler, for whatever
that
is for.
What do you got, Quintana or Tillman?
Quintana.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good about Tillman rest of season, though.
He's pitching wonderfully.
Yeah.
Injuries news and notes. Masahiro Tanaka says he's healthy, just needs to build up arm strength. We'll see when he returns. Tuesday's Cubs-Giants game will resume from the fifth inning today because of the Cubs grounds crew not putting the tarp back properly the last time they used it. So they screwed up, therefore...
It's a ground screw-up.
Yeah. Nice. The Giants win their appeal. So that means Tsuyoshi Wada doesn't have a win. Right?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Not yet. Will Myers off the DL after missing 70 games with a broken right wrist. 0-for-3 with a strikeout against Detroit. Carlos Gonzalez, knee surgery to remove a bursa sac and repair a torn patella tendon. And he may miss the start of spring training. Carlos Beltran was scratched with elbow soreness, same elbow he's had issues with this year. So that's concerning. He's been super cold. Yadier Molina took some swings, could be back sometime before the middle of September. Buster Posey day-to-day with hip tightness. Brandon Belt 2 to 3 weeks away from activity. Not from returning, but from activity. Droppable?
I think so.
Got a concussion. Chad Qualls was out with a stiff back, so Jose Veras got the save at the Yankees. Henry Mejia was out with a back injury, so Jairys Familia got a 5-out save. Writing's on the wall.
That can't be good to have a back injury at the same time you got a sports hernia.
Yeah. That's...
What does the writing say?
It says...
Pick up Familia?
All in the Familia. That's what it says.
I don't know that I...
Come on, get all
in.
I don't
know that I appreciate the writing.
Why?
That's kind of lame.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty bad. Aroldis Chapman was available to pitch yesterday. Kadire was out with a hammy. Middlebrooks was out with a hammy. Cameron Maben is back, and Abraham Almonte seems to have supplanted Will Venable in center field for San Diego. So my Will Venable love will stop.
And Nick Swisher had surgery on both knees, and Nick Swisher is out for the season. Lineup stuff. D. Gordon sat against a lefty for the third straight time. He did pinch hit and steal a base, and the lefties have been very spread out, so it's hard to notice. But does that concern you going forward for Mr. D. Gordon?
Yeah, it does, kind of. Like you said, they're so spread out that we don't know if it's just kind of, well, if, because Mattingly has spoken before about, you know, he's a skinny guy, he might wear it down. Maybe he's just like, well, if I'm going to rest him anyway, let's do it against the lefties. I don't know that that means he's going to sit against every lefty. I'm somewhat skeptical of that.
You know, the three of us are pretty skinny, and we never get a break.
Oh, we're not exactly, you know, hauling rocks either.
Good point.
That's a great visual there.
Yeah. Justin Morneau sat against a lefty, as mentioned, and it was Matt McBride who started first and hit his homer, first home run. Chris Davis sat for Gerardo Parra. Not sure what that was about. Chris Davis, though, is so good against lefties. And, you know, it's okay against righties. And Andrelton Simmons batted second again, with Jason Hayward leading off and Tommy La Stella batting seventh with Phil Gosselin on the bench. But they got shut out.
You wrote that sentence with an exclamation mark.
No,
they didn't. They lost 3-2.
I was thinking of, who did the Tigers play? Oh, the Rays.
Yeah, Braves, Rays.
I don't know what the hell that
was all about. When I hear somebody say them on a broadcast, I sometimes get them confused,
yeah.
I'll admit.
So, yeah, Andrelton Simmons batted second. We'll keep an eye on that revolving door. You want to hear the cool Jose Altuve story I heard on the Yankees-Astros broadcast?
Did this have
yesterday?
To involve him having pictures on Instagram?
No. Oh. Why would happen there?
He had pictures on Instagram with him with NBA players.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was somewhat about his height. So he's like 5. What do you think he is? 5'7"? He's really short.
5, but.
Okay, he's short as heck. And he went to a 2-day tryout for the Astros. And if they liked you, they invited you back for the second day. And if they didn't, they told you to go home. So he didn't get invited back for the second day. And his dad told him to show up anyway. So he shows up. The second day was the people who were invited back after the first day playing a game against each other. He showed up, but he wasn't supposed to be there, so he had to sit on the bench. So he sits on the bench for the first 5 innings. The coaches felt bad for him, so they let him play the last 4 innings. I guess he hit a couple of line drives, looked pretty good. They gave him a minor league contract. And now he's leading the league in hitting.
And the rest is history.
It's pretty cool.
Smart man, Mr. Altuve.
Yeah. Supposed to go home, and he said, son, you show up there. Two up.
Is that how
he probably doesn't speak like that. Two up, two down, rotation. Two up number one is Kendrys Morales, who's hitting .338 with 3 homers, 5 RBI, 5 walks, 5 strikeouts. He has a movie phone number in there. He's got a 555 in that line. And 2 doubles.
Why don't you tell us what movie you'd like to see?
Why don't you just tell me what movie? What was that? What was the name of that stupid Chuddle? Chuddle?
Yeah, I remember Chuddle. Which.
Chuddle.
I think that was the Chuddle one. Yeah,
yeah. They had a lot of.
Well,
they had a lot of fake movies.
Deathblow.
Chuddle.
My favorite was Sack Lunch, personally.
Sack Lunch. Okay, Morales. I know you guys already said you'd rather have. Well, Al said you'd rather have Kenneth Vargas than Kendrys Morales. Scott.
I think I spoke on that matter too, Adam.
I forgot what you said.
You want to rewind the tape?
Channel.
I don't know. My favorite was not Morales. My least favorite is the Twins guy.
Vargas?
Yes.
So who's the other one we compared him to?
Pierce.
Oh, yeah, Steve Pierce.
Yeah, Pierce.
So anything to say about Morales? Like, is he underowned at 37%?
Yeah, actually, that's quite eye-catching. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, he's been horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like, horrible. And there's one thing I would say. It's that if anybody holds out, anybody that gets the qualifying offer next year holds out until after the June draft, I am not picking that person up. Because Stephen Drew and Kendrys Morales have proven that you need to work yourself into, you know, being game ready.
Have they proven it?
They've
supported it.
I don't know if you can prove anything with 2 samples.
Yeah,
but
that's kind of what I was getting at.
They were setting a precedent. I mean, Steven Drew, he could have done this from the beginning of the season, I feel like. He's just not a very good hitter.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But he's not this bad.
Yeah.
I don't think he's batting 200.
Now, 171 is what's on the box score.
It's gross.
Yeah, that is bad.
Marcelo Zuna, 75% owned. He's homered in two straight games. He's got 18 on the year, and this is Ozuna's first week in six with double-digit fantasy points, so he's been pretty cold. This is a guy that I just have no idea how to value.
It's hard, because the raw power is impressive, but so is the horrid plate discipline, too, so in not such a good way.
I start him in Roto. I don't in points. It's been. I don't own him anywhere, so I can't say that's worked for me. But that's how I would approach it.
Yeah,
if I
don't think he should like sniff anywhere close to a points roster.
Yeah.
Rest of season, Ozuna or Steve Pierce utility.
I'll go Ozuna there.
Yeah, me too.
Ozuna or Reimer.
The rhyming one. I will go Ozuna. I just wanted to say the rhyming one.
I'll go Ozuna too.
Ozuna or Morse? Michael Morse.
Oh, Morse.
Oh, Morse, of course.
I like what we're seeing from Morse lately.
Mike Morse is a horse.
Two downs, a little more interesting. Brock Holt. Over the last 26 games, he's batting .211 with pretty much nothing going on except for 16 runs. Over the last 28 days, he is not even a top. He's barely a top 20 shortstop. Okay, first of all, he's horrible in Roto. He has only value in points leagues, and he's the number 19 points shortstop, number 23 third baseman in points leagues, and outside the top 35 in both positions in Roto.
Now, I would doubt that that's true for full season. Haven't looked at it, so I don't know. But what's discouraging to me about the last 26 games here, more than anything, is the zero steals. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things I grew to like about Holt, was that I figured, yeah, in the points league, he helps you by not striking out much, and in Roto, he helps you with the steals.
He's been scoring a bunch of runs, though.
Yeah.
Even
that he has, yeah.
Yeah, I did this math a couple days ago, so the numbers are a little outdated, but he's been an everyday player more or less since May 17th, and during that time at shortstop, 7th in head-to-head points, 9th in rotisserie, 12th and 13th at third base.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say he's useless in Roto.
I'm sorry. He has been useless in Roto over the last 28 days. But is this just a slump for him? Like, if somebody dropped him in a Roto league,
I'd pick him up.
Yeah.
He's eligible at five positions. I mean, that alone, I think. If there's any concerns about depth at all in your league, Holt is somebody to own.
Holt or Santana?
Santana. Oh,
yeah.
No, I think I've got Holt ranked higher, so I probably do need to adjust that.
It's Carlos Santana.
Either Santana
Danny's
for me.
Santana.
Yeah.
Every Santana but Johan.
How about Holt or Solarte?
I'll still go Holt.
Let's look at Rod. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You know what? I actually like Solarte more.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Rajay Davis is 68% owned. He has batted ninth in three straight games. That's why he's on two down. I kind of thought he would be awesome once they traded Austin Jackson.
We all did.
And Austin Jackson hasn't been good. And last 21 days, Rajay Davis, it's not like he's been that bad. Number 34 outfielder in points, number 38 in Roto. And that's pretty much, I mean, August 1st, I think, is when Austin Jackson got traded. It was
the 31st. Yeah.
So August 1st was the first game. Basically, the last 21 days coincides with the trade. So he's been fine, not great, a little bit of a thumb injury, six steals in 21 days. I was expecting a little bit more. 260 batting average. What do you guys think?
Actually, I'm surprised that those are what his numbers are, because that is about what I was expecting.
Well, I think maybe I expected more runs, 11 runs in 21 days, which isn't bad, but if you're batting leadoff every day,
right,
as opposed to ninth in the last three games.
Yeah, that's okay, and he's clearly ranking high enough to justify a Roto roster spot.
Yeah, plus he's been sitting every now and then for Carrera.
Right.
Which is stupid. All right, three-man rotation. We talked about Porcello. So let's talk about Pineda and Odorizzi, who are both owned in 87% of leagues. I've got an issue with Pineda.
You do? You watched this game?
Yeah. Because
I did not. And box score looked impressive.
Yeah, he looks like the Cy Young Award winner for five innings. And they said on the game they were monitoring him around 85 pitches. Now, he was so efficient in this game. So Pineda threw 89 pitches, 66 strikes. His pitch count was great. That's why he pitched into the seventh inning. He ended up going 6-plus and giving up 2 runs. The bullpen allowed one of those runs to score. I think he's going to be really good for the first 5 innings, but he just has stamina issues. And this is 2 games in a row where he really lost it around the 6th inning or so. So that's something to keep an eye on. He hasn't thrown more than 94 pitches all year.
Yeah, I mean, for the short term, I don't know if... I mean, his last few years have been so out of the ordinary as far as workload goes that I don't think that's terribly surprising. And I don't know that it's something that you should use to evaluate him going into next year.
No, but I think this year...
Yeah.
Is he droppable for Jimmy Nelson? Is he droppable for Danny Salazar?
I would say no. I like Salazar, but I question both of those pitchers, their innings counts the rest of the season.
And I'm hopeful that Pineda will be able to go deeper into games.
For what it's worth, and this was 2011, that's how long he was dealing with injuries. That was the only other time we saw him in the big leagues, 2011. He went 7-plus more than half a dozen times. I mean,
he's a different guy now.
Fair enough.
Jake Odorizzi, must start every week? Other than, like, at Colorado twice?
I'm hedging. He's awfully close to that, but I can't say I completely trust him in every park.
If a player's worth is determined by ownership percentage, he should not be the same ownership percentage as Pineda. He should be more.
But they're both, 87% owned, so.
Yeah. I think Odorizzi could stand to go up from there. Pineda, I think, could stand to go down maybe a little from there.
Gotcha. Next week, Odorizzi, 2 starts at Baltimore, home against Boston.
I've got him as a must start.
Must start.
Yeah.
Okay. And we go to the bullpen. Jake Patrychka has pitched the 9th inning 2 straight games in losses. That's weird. Yesterday's game was at least a 1-run game.
Keeping him fresh, I guess?
It's just kind of weird. It's not how you usually treat your closer. Trevor Rosenthal got a save, 2-out save, no runs, no hits, no strikeouts, 1 walk. That gives him 7 walks in 3 innings over his last 4 appearances, Trevor Rosenthal. Neftali Feliz gave up 2 home runs but got his 5th save, his 1st save in 2 weeks. That's what you're going to deal with the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
And Rafael Soriano came in and got a win, pitched in a tie game, I believe, and came in after Clippard and Storen. So he was used how a closer would be used. Anything to say about Patrychka, Rosenthal, Feliz, or Soriano?
That game, the Rangers, Marlins. Not that I was trusting Feliz a whole lot, but he needed every bit of that 3-run padding to get the save, put the tying run on with a walk. So, not a good performance there by Feliz.
Deep leagues, any interest in Scott Feldman or Eric Stoltz?
Nope.
Okay. And emails. Well, it's pretty quick. All right. I got 5 emails printed out, but we might have time for more. So,
The auxiliary batch.
Yeah.
Pull it up.
Although we started this podcast super late, so no promises.
Oh.
Ed from Port St. Lucie needs help. Regardless of format, he needs to keep 6 of these outfielders. You tell him who. Let's do the easy question first, though. Should I pick up DeGrom and drop Verlander?
Yeah, I would do that.
Ooh.
I would, too.
Bold move late in the year, boys. Bold move. All right, I'm with you. Let's do it.
All right, now, pick 6 outfielders to keep. McCutchen, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce, Ellsbury, Duda. All right, let's say McCutchen, Ellsbury, and Puig are musts. Fair?
Fair.
Now pick 3. Bruce, Duda, J.D. Martinez, Snyder, Yelich, Gordon.
Wow. That's a tough one.
Bruce, Duda, J.D. Martinez, Snyder, Yelich, Gordon, pick 3.
I think you got to keep Bruce and Gordon. So I'm picking between, or among, Duda, Martinez, and Yelich.
Whew. I'm picking Yelich. I think the pedigree and the progress he's already made in his career points to stardom. And I don't know that Duda Martinez are ever going to get to quite that level.
You know, for a second, I thought you said start him instead of stardom.
Stardom.
I was leaning that way, too. I'll join you, Scott. Yeah, really impressive what Yelich has done this year.
Here's Genesis from Anaheim. He has a grade the trade, and he says, "Dear Ben Richards, John Matrix, and Alan Dutch Schaefer."
Ah, those guys.
The only Dutch I know is from Predator. So maybe it's Predator.
You love Predator. You don't know their names by heart? You don't have them tattooed somewhere on your body?
John Matrix, Alan Dutch Schaefer.
Was this Memento?
Memento?
Isn't that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, these are all, yeah, these are all Schwarzenegger movies.
Ah.
So I'll have to look up the other ones.
Yeah.
I give Adam Jones and Denard Span. I get Rizzo, Torrey Hunter, and Dustin Ackley. I'm leading runs by a lot within striking distance for homers and RBI. So giving up Jones and Span, getting Rizzo, Hunter, and Ackley.
I'm going to say that's even Steven. C.
I'll give it C+.
Hey, guess what? On Fantasy Baseball Today later this afternoon, we're unveiling our 2015 first rounds. I think. We haven't settled on it, but I think we are.
Oh, man. You're going to deny them.
I almost put Anthony Rizzo in there. Huh? Did you guys do that?
No, but we sort of discussed about whether or not he belonged to the second round.
Yeah,
and I almost put Adam Jones in there too.
Oh no, but I didn't. They're both second half. I think what inspired this potential segment on Fantasy Baseball Today is my column, which I assume is going to go up today. I projected the first two rounds for next year, and Rizzo and Jones are both second half second rounders for me. Although,
that's
I mean,
fair.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys like Altuve, Rendon ahead of them, which maybe some people will be a little more reluctant to draft.
No, I think, I put Donaldson was my 12th pick.
In your first round?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know who you left out of the first
round. I left Altuve out.
I didn't have Altuve in there.
I only had one pitcher. I left Tulo out.
Yeah, I got two pitchers in my first round. Oh, you left Tulo out
of
the first round?
You know
round
I'm leaving
entirely?
Tulo out of the first round. You're surprised?
We've done this podcast.
I yelled about this. Of course I'm leaving Tulo out. I didn't have a shortstop in there, and third base is so bad, and it's losing Miguel Cabrera. So I do think Donaldson, who is proving himself as a legit player.
I just don't know that you want to draft a 250 hitter in the first round. That just seems like you're setting your team up for I don't know that Donaldson's going to keep being a 250 hitter next year. That remains to be seen, but there's enough concern about his batting average that I think it's not the great use
that.
Of a first-round pick.
I thought about that, but if you get 30 home runs at third base with the state of that position, you know,
why
Longoria is so risky now, Beltre getting older, David Wright, whatever, Cabrera no longer third base eligible. I can't put Todd Frazier up
Donaldson's
there.
Donaldson's not even my top third baseman for next
Who
year.
Who is
like
Rendon?
I said, Rendon. I have ahead of him.
Yeah, I thought about Rendon. I think if there is an elite third baseman, he deserves to be considered at the end of the first round.
I think there's three third basemen that are elite. Donaldson, Beltre, Rendon. And because none of them really deserve to go in the first round on numbers alone, the fact that there's three as opposed to one shortstop and Tulo who's well better than them when he's on the
40
field.
Games, right?
Yeah, 40 games. I think it bumps them all to the second round at best. And Beltre just missed for me. I almost had all three in my second round. But look, you know, you can draft however you want. I'm just making my case here.
No, I mean, it's fair. It's just if you have the 12th pick and you don't take a third baseman there, you're going to be a little weak. There's a good chance you're going to be weak at third base.
That's a good point, too. You're not going to get any of those three back.
Right.
I would just probably make it my 13th pick instead of my 12th
no,
if we're going to nitpick here.
That's fine.
All right, a few more emails here. By the way, Ben Richards is the running man, and John Matrix is commando. Hey, Jay, Allen, and John.
I got it.
What?
All players who have first names as last names. Jay Bruce, Alan Craig, John Jay.
Nice! 10-team head-to-head categories league. This is from Chris in Nebraska. The playoffs are in week 22. I'm in fifth place. I have Doolittle in Britain. Most of the teams I would face in the playoffs have four closers, except for one team that punts saves. So should I drop my two relievers and pick up Jimmy Nelson, Chen, Shoemaker, McCarthy, Salazar? Because if in the playoffs he figures he's never going to win saves because his opponents are either going to have four saves, or he's going to win saves against the guy who's punting saves but get destroyed in all the other pitching categories. So it's actually pretty interesting.
Well,
we have like 3 minutes left or so.
You know. I don't know that you can be entirely sure the guy's going to destroy you in the other categories, because ERA and WHIP, those don't depend on number of innings you're pitching. If anything, number of innings could make you more vulnerable, but I don't know. I'd probably keep him around in case I played that one team.
Okay.
And just, you know, bank an easy win there.
Chris in the ICT, which we think is Wichita, with Adam Eaton expected to return from the DL next week, rank these three for the rest of the season in a head-to-head points league. Eaton, Aoki, Avisel Garcia, Oswaldo Arcia.
I would go in, let's see, would I go in that order? You said it's points league. So in that case, yes, that order.
Eaton, Aoki, Garcia, Arcia.
Yes.
Hey, Chris, don't tell us to rank three when you give us four.
Bonus.
Here's a grade to trade from Mark. Hello, Greg, Tom, and John.
Famous Rays pitchers.
tight Roto League. I'm in first by a point and a half. Yeah, it's really bunched up. There are five teams separated by 8.5 points. I am second in runs, first in homers, first in RBI. Tied for 7th in steals and 9th in average. I do well in wins, strikeouts, and saves, not so well on ERA and WHIP. Only 5 stolen bases from moving up 3 spots.
Ooh.
And .005 average away from moving up 4 spots. I'm currently on pace as being 31 innings pitched over the limit for the season. So the innings aren't needed. All right, to summarize, he can get a big boost if he improves in batting average and steals. And it looks like he's okay and wins. All right. What's the question here?
He gives...
All right, here's the grade to trade. Give up Dozier, Adam Jones, David Ortiz, and Scott Kazmir. Giving up Dozier, Adam Jones, Ortiz, and Kazmir. Getting Trout, Altuve, Yan Gomes, and Dellin Betances.
Yeah, obviously the trade plays into your needs more, and I'm not so sure I want to take it just needs aside. You know, I'm not really sure there's any question here. I give it a minus.
Yeah, I was going to say B plus.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's
really good one.
It's an interesting trade. Guys, this is the end of today's show. We're back tomorrow to help you set your only 8 games tonight, right?
Correct.
Holiday! Celebrate! Yeah, I like 8 games. We're coming back tomorrow.
Oh, wait. 8.5.
Oh,
right. Crap.
8.5. Did I just ruin the party? Am I the party pooper?
The holiday is over. We have work tomorrow now.
The holiday now.
Talk to you tomorrow morning. Another morning podcast on Fantasy Baseball Today. See you later.